century political philosopher, William F. Campbell. Those of us who are schooled in the practical politics of Chicago have not failed to notice that now the permanent general secretaryship and the presidency of this society are now in the hands of people in a single institution, Louisiana State University. Coincidence? I think not. For those of you not familiar with Louisiana State University, let me say, Mr. Willits, it's a great academic institution that rather proudly and not without justification likes to refer to itself as the Ball State of the South. Well, we've been in meetings all day. The world continues to turn out there. There's a little bit of news, and I'd like to bring you up to speed. Mayor Giuliani today announced that the treatments that he may be undergoing to deal with his prostate cancer may leave him impotent. His prospective opponent, Ms. Hillary Rodham Clinton, graciously said on the announcement of that news, "Ooh, I like that in a man." Al Gore, seeing the news of this illness and prospective triumph over it, causing Mayor Giuliani's points in the polls to go up faster than his PSAs, announced today that he had prostate cancer first. Meanwhile, John McCain, as you may know, is in Vietnam to observe, I don't say celebrate, to observe the 25th anniversary of the triumph there of the communists. And yesterday, John McCain said publicly in Vietnam, "The bad guys won." He said that. The bad guys, the wrong guys won. And he also spoke scathingly of the treatment that he received in the Hanoi Hilton. I'm not making that up. Nor am I making up the fact that immediately after John McCain spoke these truths, an accompanying American diplomat, when questioned by the media, said, "Well, those statements are not very helpful." The evidence is increasingly in the minds of experts in civil service administration that in these waning months now of the Clinton administration, Janet Reno is in fact no longer in charge of the Department of Justice. Exhibit A was that raid in Miami last week. It was clear that was conducted by career civil servants and was not controlled by the Attorney General. The proof of that pudding is they conducted the raid and Elian came out alive. Al Gore, seeing the administration going up in the polls as a result of conducting this raid for Elian, announced today that he promises if he's elected president, he personally will lead a raid on Site 51 in Nevada to free the alien there. He also announced today that he was the first ever to see a UFO and the first ever to have a close encounter of the third kind. Mr. Gore's story about the close encounter has him in a tobacco field shortly before the death of his late father, going out to try to persuade his father no longer to grow tobacco. And there in the middle of the field, he encountered, well, never mind, let me just, you wait and hear that speech at the Democratic National Convention this summer. Tim Wheeler, who probably pushes the most acid pen in the conservative movement in America, wants to know if the courts force the breakup of Microsoft into a bunch of baby Microsofts, will Janet Reno lead a raid to return the baby Microsoft to Bill Gates? And that, I suppose, is mounting evidence of the existence of Leviathan, which brings us to the business of today's session. Leviathan. By the way, Al Gore also claims not only did he coin the term Leviathan, but he participated in the first ever Leviathan. It was at Harvard in 1965. He wore the same pair of Levi's for four semesters, winning the Leviathan, and... And Al Gore swears that it was that experience that taught him to hold the posture he holds and sustains today. Leviathan, of course, is a term of biblical origins. It refers to something big and menacing. We are graced today with two very interesting men who are going to approach the question of Leviathan from intriguingly different perspectives. One, a historian of the American founding in particular, who proposes to discuss how structural institutions, constitutional arrangements, including arrangements of federalism, subsidiarity, and the like, create checks and balances that control powers of government. The other, an experienced hand at leading a revolution from the inside with a great modern conservative leader, Margaret Thatcher, in the United Kingdom, will be talking about something I think will be of special interest to our society after this morning's session in particular, about bringing political theory to the point where the rubber meets the road in terms of political practice as a practicing hands-on politician. So let's turn to those panels, but first, a commercial. Our friends at the John Howard Center, named after one of the great lights of our movement, this evening will be having a special dinner featuring Milt Rosenberg, a celebrated Chicago radio personality. I hope, if you have not yet made arrangements to do that, you will do so. I want to tell you a true story about a historian and Milt Rosenberg. Milt Rosenberg, by the way, professor of psychology at the University of Chicago, who has had the most erudite radio program, I think, on Chicago radio, probably for three decades now, is one of those people who started out as a pretty serious and committed left-winger, and over the course of decades and exposure to reality has turned into something else. He is now one of us, and I think you will be amazed and charmed when you see him and hear him this evening. It is not often that we get to say, as people on the left so usually do about people, to say that they have grown. But I think it's fair to say Milt Rosenberg has grown, and you will see that tonight. A few months ago, Milt Rosenberg asked me to come on his radio show to be a counterfoil to another historian, a presidential historian, Edmund Morris. So I read the book, and I met Edmund Morris, who spells his last name exactly the way I spell mine, in the studio a few minutes before the radio show was to begin, and we started our private chat, and I asked Morris, how was it that he decided to insinuate himself into Reagan's book, into his book about the history of the life of Ronald Reagan, creating for himself this personality as the scion of an established Jewish family named Morris in Chicago at the turn of the last century? So he was telling me about that, and then the conversation continues, and I mentioned that I'm a lawyer, and I try cases in the courthouse in Chicago, which is built on the very site where my great-grandmother lived in the 1880s, and my family was here in the 1890s and the 1900s, and then Milt came in, and we talked a little bit about the synagogue we go to, and so, and just as the show was about to begin, it began to dawn on Edmund Morris that he was sitting with a representative of a Jewish family from Chicago that was here at the turn of the last century that's named Morris. And just as that was hitting, Ed, the radio show began, Milt Rosenberg turned to me and asked me what was my reaction to the book. And my opening reaction to the book was, well, as our grandmother used to say of Cousin Ed, if he'd only take his medicine, he'd stop having these fantasies. The opening speaker on our panel today is a historian of presidencies who is not belabored by fantasies. Thurlis McDonald is one of the most distinguished American historians of the presidency. If you turn to the editorial pages of today's Chicago Sun-Times, you will see a column by Steve Neal, fairly liberal Democratic columnist in Chicago, who nonetheless in today's pages praises Ronald Reagan and praises an alternative biography of Reagan's to Morris's as a superior one. Neil is a big fan of Forrest MacDonald and has publicly said, as have others, that the definitive biography of Ronald Reagan really won't be written until Forrest MacDonald deigns to write it, and I hope he does. But he has been a superb historian of the American founding, of the Constitution, of the early thinkers of this republic, a native of Texas, educated all the way through at the University of Texas, currently on the faculty of the University of Alabama, and most importantly of all, the husband of Ellen MacDonald. It is a privilege to present to you Forrest MacDonald.